Well, today we have some interesting scripture. Our first is from the Song of Songs. This is a beautiful book of the Bible. It's juicy and wonderful and full of imagery and a wonderful read. And quite often, we skip over it. So I was so pleased when it popped up in the lectionary and I got a chance to talk about it. The second, our chapter from Mark, talks about how we aren't just to talk about traditions, but actually put everything that God wants us to do into action. So it's not only about words or traditions, it's about action. So first I'd like to talk about the Song of Songs. It is so different from any other book of the Bible. And I have learned that scholars believe many things about it, but one is that it most likely was not written by Solomon as we once believed. It could be poems. It could be a group of poems by two people or maybe one person. Many scholars believe it was actually written by a woman, which would be unusual for a text in the Bible. Some scholars have believed it made it into our sacred text because it represents the way the church as a whole is to worship God or love God. And some see this as just a beautiful collection of poems about two people completely in love and talking about their human sexuality. So many ways in which we can look at this book in the Bible. So second, I want to tell you that, as we know, every single thing that we would ever want to talk about, debate, or argue, we can find evidence in the Bible. I can believe something, and you could be arguing with me adamantly, and we both could find a piece of scripture that would support our argument, and we wonder, how does this happen? How can there be two totally different beliefs or messages in the Bible? And so what I want to tell you, which is what my Hebrew Bible teacher told me, and I will live with forever, is that this is actually a bunch of books in a library. This is a library full of books. And when we think about this as a group of books instead of just one book, we know when we go to the public library or the school library, we could find books representing all kinds of arguments, all kinds of ideas. They may conflict, they may complement one another, but in the library, there are all different themes and all different points of view, just as in our beautiful library here, our scripture. And that might explain how the Song of Songs got into the Bible. It's totally different than the others. Yeah, maybe. So, in the Song of Songs, there are so many beautiful words that the lovers speak to each other. I found this picture and I felt it really represented both a Song of Songs and how one can feel about oneself. You can wear these beautiful words, these wonderful words, or you could wear other words that maybe people have spoken to you. So there's many. I hope you all can see. Oh, yeah, it's bigger on that screen. So you can see the beautiful words. So the Song of Songs is a beautiful book that talks about human sexuality, a gift from God. How did this make it in if it wasn't that human sexuality was a gift from God? I'm talking about love and commitment and sexuality. This piece, chapter 2, verses 3 through 13, I think we read, is talking about two people so in love and wanting to run away together, but for some reason, they aren't able to. And some scholars wonder, was it because they were of different races? Was it because they were different religions, different ethnic backgrounds, different classes? Was the woman or man already betrothed to another? It's unknown. But they long to be together. They long to run away together. What a beautiful image. And what a beautiful way to think about our church loving each other and loving and in excitement, wanting to just share and spread the love. I find it interesting that it's possible that a woman could have written these group of poems in a patriarchal society back in the day, and how she was so free to express herself. So, human sexuality is a gift from God, and we need to be careful who we share this with. We need our gifts to be shared only with ones we love. And so I wanted to distinguish that, because many times when we think of human sexuality, we think of the images we see in society today where a car commercial or a beer commercial or any kind of commercial, actually, is trying to sell sex. And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about exploiting the body. I'm talking about when two people are in love and it's just natural. It's a gift from God. I really wanted to talk about this today because we never talk about, well, I think this church talks about human sexuality more than most, but we really don't talk about human sexuality all that much and how it is a gift from God. So, the topic that we generally talk about when we talk about human sexuality in church and in our culture is the heterosexual, homosexual sexuality. And I'm talking about just the natural, whatever we love, whoever we love, is just natural. And so this Friday, we actually, as a group, marched in support of gay pride at the fair, at the New York State Fair. This is the first year that Pride Day was noticed, was a piece of a day. Pride Day was a day of the fair. And so I was so honored that our church marched to show that human sexuality is just what it is. We're just born this way. It's natural. So I've marched in the Pride Parade in June 3 times, and then this is my 4th time, but it was at a different location. When we're marching at the Pride Parade, everyone is there to say amen. Everyone is there to say, we're okay, and this is just who we are. At the New York State Fair, it was different. There were all kinds of people there. It wasn't like everyone was in support of gay pride. It was a different feel. I felt differently about it. And I was so honored that we were there to represent that human sexuality is natural and normal, and that a faith community loves all people. I was honored. It was a different feel. And this week I've also had a chance to see how this love and commitment goes beyond death. I've seen many families this week grieving the loss of someone they love. While I was at the parade this weekend, I met someone who had been hurt by the church in his youth. And he's really struggling with his relationship with God. I believe that he spoke with me and others. So the University United Methodist Church was behind the First Unitarian Church. And so I was so glad that he saw 2 different faith communities, at least, saying that we love you. But he said to me, it's so hard to go into a church. It's hard for me to sit in the pews and hear the old songs that I used to hear as a child and as a youth. And it hurts still. He said, I can't make it in those doors because it still hurts. Because when I was a child, I was told I was full of sin. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart to hear him say this. And then I saw this picture. So what if the words that we spoke, as Jesus said in Mark's scripture, what if the words we spoke were true? It isn't about tradition. It's about what we're doing, what we're saying. And what if anyone who has been hurt, either by the church or by someone they've loved, instead of wearing those words of hurt, like, I'm ugly, I'm stupid, my nose is too big, all these judgments, what if instead of wearing these words of hurt, they wore these words? They wore the words, beautiful, my darling, how beautiful, sister, beloved, lily of the valley, doves, my love. So I ask you today, what if words spoken by the church as a whole and each of us individually were this loving? So that when people lived and breathed, they wore these words rather than the words of hurt feelings. And how would this change our world? Amen.
As we think about speaking loving words and doing loving actions, have you noticed how full your bulletin is of opportunities to do that this week and in coming weeks? There's so many opportunities, and I encourage you to take that home and look at you. But if you're needing a spiritual boost or an opportunity to raise others' spirits, there's the sermon soup chat after worship, and there's a spirituality in nature event coming up in about a month. And if you're more of a doer and want to have words and actions be loving in that way, there are meetings for ACTS about pre-K education and anti-racism. There's a chance for interfaith dialogue. There's staffing the table. Anybody can do that at the Westcott Fair. And for those of you who love to bake, we need cookies to welcome people for the Westcott Taste of Westcott. So lots of opportunities to respond to God's call for us to be positive and loving with these kinds of words. With that in mind, I would tell you to take this next time with the offering to think about what of these things or others you might be able to offer in your time, in your thoughts, in your good words, or with monetary gifts. We'll take our offering now. Thank you.
Let's join in the unison prayer of dedication. We dedicate this offering as one evidence of our stewardship, loving God. Our copper, nickel, green, and debit cards have no value except as they are invested according to your purposes. Our lives gain different kind of richness as we give our time and talents in loving service. Use all that we have and give to build the community you intend through Christ our Lord. Please remain standing.
I just wanted to say quickly before our hymn, bring a friend next week, because next week we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of a traditional sermon, we're going to have meditative play. So we're going to meditate and on scripture and poems and prayer and play with our hands. So just know that it's going to be a little bit different and a lot of fun, and hopefully the Spirit will move you and you'll create something beautiful. So invite a friend. Will you please sing together hymn When Love Is Found? Go forward and speak words of love and peace to all, no matter who they love. Amen.